Welcome to Just Started, That's It. I'm one of your entertainers, Johnny, your left-hand man. Let's go ahead and start off in Tampa in alphabetical order and introduce yourselves.
Yo, this your boy Antonio, what up?
Okay. Next person, please.
And this is Basilio, and I'm ready to fucking talk shit. Let's go.
All right. Last but not least, from up north.
It's your boy, Justin. Bringing you the download from the Midwest.
Oh, love download stuff. That's very good. So just make sure it's legal. All right, gentlemen. Let's start off with the best thing that's happened in football in a long time. That was last night's game, Kansas City at Los Angeles. What are your feelings about the game and? Does it make the Rams the best team? And do you think what Patrick did it hurt his chances of MVP talk? Let's start with you, Justin. What are your feelings about yesterday's game? Did you enjoy it, first off?
Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. I'd just like to say to the NFL that anytime the Rams, the Chiefs, or the Saints play, or a combination thereof of those three teams, let's extend it to 120 minutes and give us like two football games at once. Because I could just keep watching it. There's so much to talk about in that game. You don't know where to start. But as far as Mahomes and what he did yesterday. For hurting his MVP, I think it did a little bit, right? Let's remember, he's pretty young here. He still has a lot to learn. But he did make some, although he may not be considered a rookie, he still made some rookie mistakes, which I think are on him and also on his head coach for not basically making him aware of the situation, right? As far as the Rams are concerned, I don't think you can consider the Rams the best team in football when they give up 51 points to an opponent, right? The last three games, they've given up 40, 31, and 51 points.
Yeah, they
in
have
the last three games. They got a lot of work to do on D. I don't think they're considered the best team in football.
I agree. Vasily, what are your feelings about yesterday's game? And what arena are you at today, sir?
Sorry, I'm watching Williamson and Barrett take off while trying to hold on to their lead. Anyways, what do I think? The game was very exciting. It won me $100 yesterday, so that's a good thing. And, you know, and it lost somebody a lot of money, but he's not on tonight because he's a bitch. So, you know, when he hears this, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. It was a very exciting game. It just tells you two things. The offenses are freaking great. Those are two great offenses. But you know what? Those are two sorry-ass defenses. And it's like, you have to sit there and do something. Like, the Rams came in as... You know, supposedly being one of the best defenses in the league, and that shit is horrible. So, I don't think it messes up Mahomes' chances for MVP. I mean, I still think he's top three. I wasn't gonna give it to him at first. It probably would have went to either Gurley or Breeze, but I don't think it hurts his chances. I mean, they still got six more games left, so we'll see what happens there. And then as far as it was great. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Antonio, what are your feelings about the game?
I think that that game it has to go down as probably one of the greatest on Monday night. It just has to. And the thing is with this game, it had a lot of everything. It had a scoring. It actually had defense because, hey, give it – I mean – 51 points given up by the Rams, but they did score three off of turnovers. So, I mean, you got to give them something. Some good, not so good. They just had a lot of everything to make it the type of game that it was. So I just think overall, it was a phenomenal game played, honestly, by both teams. The Rams just eked out a win, and that was really on that last turnover. That's really what that was. So if had that not happened, the game would have probably went the opposite way. That being said, does it hurt Mahomes' chances? Like Basile said, we're like five. This was game 11, right? In like five games left.
Six more games left.
There's six more games, right? Okay, so it's six more games left. I think that I had Mahomes slightly ahead of Breeze, but I think after yesterday's game, just if we're talking about it today, you'd probably now give Drew Breeze the slight nod, but with six games left, anything can happen. So it's still neck and neck. Nothing really would really throw me one way or the other in any dramatic fashion based on yesterday's game, because Mahomes, honestly, for the three interceptions and all those points being given up by really the Chiefs defense as well, they honestly had no business even entertaining the type of game that they had. They just had no business, but give it to Mahomes. Six touchdowns. I mean, three touchdowns is hard to swallow, but six fucking touchdowns. I mean, that's video game shit right there.
I agree.
It wasn't video game. That's exactly what it was.
And you guys think this is the future of the NFL, because the next subject we're going to talk about, it's the Giants and Bucks game. And that was one of the most highest scoring games over the weekend. Justin, what do you think? Is this where the NFL is going? Is it what we're going to see as it relates to these high scoring games?
I think so. And I think that you can see that the NFL has been pushing the league towards this for quite a while now, ever since the concussion situation came out, right? They wanted a safer league, which means that the defense is going to suffer. You're not going to get those big hard hits. You're not going to get, those schemes where, plays and hits that make you, jump out of your seat or turn away or whatever. You're just not going to see that anymore, because they don't want to deal with that whole multi-billion-dollar lawsuit that they have on their hands. They just want to get away from that. So I think this is definitely the direction that the league is going to be going in. You're going to see a lot more offense. You're going to see a lot more high-powered offenses. And for those teams who don't basically follow to form, they're gonna get left behind. The Jets. they're going to get left behind. But this is the way that it's going. It's just like the NBA. You're starting to see the game evolve now that Steph Curry's shooting 40, 50-foot three-pointers. Every team is trying to copy what Golden State has. So you're going to start seeing teams try to copy what the Rams and the Chiefs have in their high-powered offenses.
I tend to agree with you on that one. And let's talk about that high-scoring game with the Giants and the Bucks. More on the Bucks side of things. I mean, Basilio, what do you think they're going to do? Because they keep going back and forth with their QB. I mean, you think they're going to keep Winston next year?
No, I think he's gone. They are risking the fact of him getting hurt. If he gets hurt, then they're going to have to pay him, that $20-plus million that they own. But, if he doesn't get hurt, man, he's gone. He's going to another team. I just think, they're going to leave him in there to see what they got, to see if there's one last hope. But I just don't think. I think he needs to get the hell out of Florida, just from Florida State to Tampa. It's bad news for him. He needs to freaking go to I can't say Seattle because they got a good, quarterback. Just go somewhere else, far, far away, and see what you can get down there. But that's another game. We're talking about that game. That's another game. Freaking horrible defenses, offenses just look good, but we already know the Giants had a big problem with their line, so.
Well, the scary thing was is the game of the Bucks and the Giants was almost the same thing as the Rams, because exactly. The Giants had a few interceptions as well that they did. It was just a horrible defense.
And that's the funny thing about people, because they sit there and they want to sit there and say, well, the Rams and the Chiefs game was better, even though it was similar because of the fact that, it was high scoring and defenses played like shit, but they also did have some kind of turnovers. But it's like, just because two horrible teams have a high scoring game doesn't mean, it's one of the worst played games ever. But then these two teams have a high scoring game, and that was one of the best games ever. But
yeah, it was one of the best games. I think what makes the the Kansas City and Rams game one of the best games ever is just the players that were on the field. Itself.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because if it was us four and we scored that many points on TV, they'd be like, it's depressing.
Well, no, they'll be like, that's kind of weird how, you know, three fat guys and a short guy are scoring all these points. So, you know, they'll be amazed. You know what I'm
saying? I understand. Antonio, as it relates to the Bucks,
what do you think? As it relates to short guys.
No. We'll talk about that another time. But
oh, fair.
As it relates to the Bucks, do you see them keeping Winston?
Keeping Winston beyond this year?
Yeah, because he's their starting quarterback coming up now.
With the Bucks, I don't even know. We talk about decision. That's staring at them. Right in the face. The Bucks have proven over and over, especially with quarterbacks, they can easily make a wrong decision without blinking an eye. So I don't know the answer to that, because Jameis Winston could have another two, three, not even good games, but decent games, and all of a sudden Bucks Nation fall back in line. So I don't know. I don't really have a yes or a no on that in regards to. After the game, I mean, this was a surprisingly entertaining game just because of the crap that was on the field. It was surprisingly entertaining. You got to take at least some sort of a positive out of, you know, the game. At least the Giants were able to hang in there enough to score three more points than probably one of the other worst teams in football aside from themselves. So good because of scoring, but I mean, do I see this? Do I compare this as like the future where the Chiefs on Monday night? Fuck no.
Your honesty is strong today, sir. Justin, as it relates to the Bucks, two questions. Of course, the situation with Jameis, they keep going back and forth. Do you see Jameis staying there? And if he, first, go ahead and answer that question first for me.
I don't see Jameis being with the Bucks beyond this year, because Jameis is proverbially tied to Dirk Cutter. They hired Dirk Cutter as head coach specifically for Jameis Winston. So once Cutter is gone, Winston is gone.
And as it relates to Cutter, is he there, yes or no, after this year?
He's gone.
Fuck no.
So he's not a stupid guy. He's already packed his office up. You know, same with those guys, know that their time is pretty much up. You know, I'd like to hear from you guys. I said from the beginning that the Bucks should not draft Jameis Winston for various reasons, but I felt Mariota should have been the Bucks quarterback. How did you guys feel about that situation?
I said the same thing. And they should have got Mariota instead.
Hindsight, because I think the majority of us were saying the same thing. I think the majority of us here were saying Marcus Mariota is he may not be the sexier, flashier choice, but he's the safest choice. Yeah. He was the safest choice.
You're right. He's not a superstar by any means, but he's still.
He's not flashy. He's Aaron Rodgers type.
I will say that.
He would be a rock, based, you know, on what they needed him to do, which is be a fucking quarterback. They don't need him to be a celebrity. They need him to be a fucking quarterback. Exactly what I almost compare it, and I'm not talking about talent wise, but I almost compare it to when RG3 and Andrew Luck came out. It's like when RG3 came out, he was a shiny object that was like, oh, this flashy, and Andrew Luck was this boring but phenomenal football player. And look, which one of those run? I'm now RG3 got hurt, but
well, the Colts,
know,
talent
wise,
the Colts almost fucked that shit up because they were thinking about taking.
Right, RG3. No, but just based on talent, but just based on the type of player, you know, I wouldn't mind. I don't need. Like, Jameis Winston for them at the Bucks was the flashy guy, but they fucked up again with picking in this quarterback draft, because Mariota would have been the safer choice, because he would have been a more foundational player than James Crofton.
I agree. I think they should have picked him first. It would have been I think it would have helped actually both quarterbacks.
James Porter probably been better in Tennessee James right now.
Getting away from Florida. You know how Florida is when the weather gets cold, Wi-Fi is not working, Justin. And let's go. And you know what? With the whole Andrew Luck thing, are you guys impressed with what the Colts are doing right now? I'll go ahead and start off with you. Are they a playoff team?
You know what? They are a playoff team, in my opinion. And that's what happens when you actually have a quarterback. Luck is underrated, in my opinion, even though people sit there and want to act like, well, you know, he's not durable. Yeah, he's been fucked for the last couple of years. But Aaron Luck is that good. He's that good. If he had a better offensive line, well, you know, they're making it work. They're fixing it for him. Maybe, you know, they get a good running back, a better running back. They could be good, and their defense picks up because their defense is not too bad. Andrew Luck is good. I think he's going to be good for years to come as long as he stays healthy.
What about your feelings, Justin, on the Colts? Are they a playoff team?
No. So
hating ass.
They're playing well right now, and they're putting it together. You know, Luck coming off the injury or whatnot, he's getting back to form as to where he was. But they're not a playoff team based on the fact that there's just too many teams ahead of them, right? So if you look at the AFC and the way that the seeds are right now, they're not a playoff team. They're just playing it simple. They're not going to win their division, right? Houston's got that locked up.
Yeah, we got too much time.
They're not going to get it. They're not going to get. Yeah, they're not going to get in as a wild card. So they're not a playoff team.
Yeah, Tony, what are you feeling? Yes or no? Playoff team?
Just yes or no.
In other words,
he doesn't want you to talk. Just say yes or no. Dan. All right.
I was going to say a couple of things.
Yeah, I don't. Are they a playoff team this year? Probably not. Are they definitely a contender next year? Yeah, just like everybody, just the same old adage with quarterbacks. As long as he stays healthy, especially with Andrew Luck, they definitely have that potential. It's just a matter of staying healthy. They got the benefit of playing in a dome for where they are. So that's if Luck can stay healthy and they can kind of keep everything else. Almost, even if not just bring it up slightly, they have a better chance, but not this year.
Helped the Colts is that Andrew Luck has not been sacked in the past 5 games. That is that's amazing to me, because imagine if Eli didn't get sacked 5 times in 1 game.
Be undefeated right now.
How things would be. Let's move on.
Justin would actually start calling him by his damn name.
Let's talk about.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
You're not. So let's move on.
Listen, the Giants go 9-7. We're winning the Super Bowl. That's what I'm saying.
Oh man!
Let's go to the next subject.
Yeah, don't ruin Thanksgiving for everybody.
Why are we doing?
Put it in my mouth.
Why are we doing?
Yeah, me as well. And Tony, we'll start off with you. This is about the NBA. About this kid from Philadelphia, Markelle Fultz. I think it's one of the saddest stories I've seen in any kind of sports. Situation as being the number one pick and just forgetting how to play. What are your feelings about this? And what would you do as, first of all, two questions. What would you do as Markelle Fultz, and what would you do as the Philadelphia's GM?
Go for it. Well, I mean, it's you can already see that Philadelphia is already moving on without Fultz. I think that Fultz is already an afterthought in their mind. He's just taking up a bench spot. That's all he's really doing right now. So I see them with the depth that they have, with the depth that they have on the team, you know, with Simmons and Embiid and Butler, and trying to grow some more pieces, maybe one or two more pieces around them. I think they have enough to still be able to maybe carry folks a little bit more, maybe another year or so to see what happens, because he is getting, you know, look, his shoulder looked at to see if that maybe. But I think they might be inclined, based on how they do this year, they might be inclined to give him another go around next year. Next year, if the same shit happens, he's fucking done. He's done. And I don't even know if he'd be G League material at that point. But I think that it's a sad thing, though. I mean, that's a number one pick, and to see him just all of a sudden deteriorate overnight, it's odd. It's just odd. Like, you see guys coming into the league all hyped up and can play, and then all of a sudden, few games in, gets hurt, and that kind of is the detriment to the rest of their career. I don't know what the fuck happened with Fultz. He just disappeared.
It's crazy how he can't shoot a free throw. Justin, what is your feelings about it, about this young kid and his career?
Yeah, his career is definitely in jeopardy at this point, because let's be honest, right? It's not like Markelle Fultz just woke up one day and forgot how to shoot, right? He got injured, he got the shoulder injured or whatever. The problem is he has a lot of people in his head right now. He has a lot of people talking in his ear, and he's listening to all those people, and he's trying to put it together, and it's not working for him. So he needs to go back to whatever feels right for him in terms of shooting, and start shooting the ball that way. He probably has, like, you know, a whole bunch of coaches coming in and people telling him, oh, you need to do this, let's change your shot, blah, blah, blah. Just go back to the way that works for you and the way that you feel comfortable. If you start listening to a bunch of people and tell you how to change your shot, Bill Cartwright would never have shot a free throw in the NBA, right?
Bill Cartwright, that's great.
Right now, I wouldn't even be surprised if he takes Uber to the stadium every fucking day because he can't find it.
So I think if he doesn't learn to block it out and get his confidence back, because I think a lot of it is just confidence.
Yeah,
he's in jeopardy. The problem is the 76ers, they can't do anything with him.
Yeah,
because the word is out on him now, so they can't trade him because they're not going to get his value back to this.
No,
right. So the only option is to cut him if he can't fix it, which. Is a shame because he's a number one draft.
Yeah, I agree. I think what makes it worse is that he's still a kid. You know, like I don't see him as an adult yet. So I think all that pressure is really affecting him. Vasily, what are your feelings about Markelle Fultz and what he should do? You know, what
somebody should do for his ass, right? I listen. I don't understand what happened to him to be the number one pick. And just act like he doesn't even know how to play the game of basketball. If I was his parents, man, I'd take his ass to a Spanish hood somewhere, leave his ass there, get his ass whooped by, you know, old grandparents and shit. Be like, yo, that little stage fright shit you got going on, that shit needs to fucking get out. Like, stop being a pussy. You knew what you were signing up for when you decided to play, you know, college basketball, and you ended up being good. Once you got drafted, you should have known what you were getting into. You can't shoot, man. Something's mentally wrong with him.
But Markelle Fultz, even as young as he is, and if the problems that he's having this year, he can still contribute, because I'm not going to compare the two, but I would use Lonzo Ball as an example. He may not be able to shoot to save his fucking life, but he does still make an impression on the floor.
But it's a big difference, though. I think Markelle Fultz is just scared. He's just scared. Because Lonzo Ball, we knew he couldn't shoot. Markelle Fultz was a great shooter in college. You can't. So Lonzo Ball, he's going to contribute. He's not scared. Especially with his damn father, he's not scared. But Markelle Fultz, he's scared. Something's wrong with him.
If he's scared to shoot, I understand that because of where he's at right now. But that's what I'm saying. He needs to start. If he wants to grow, he needs to start growing his game. If he can't shoot, if he's not shooting good one night, contribute somewhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If he can't shoot, he can't do nothing else. He just needs to get his ass whooped by his grandma.
Do you guys put some blame toward Philadelphia?
Yeah.
I think they did something. I think they did something to him, to be honest with you.
No.
I think they tried to change his shot. I think they tried to change his shot coming out of college to try to fix it, and they fucked it up, is what I think they did.
I don't think it was – I disagree. I don't think it was coming out of college, because I think it was after he got hurt. After he hurt the shoulder is when they tried to start changing his shot.
Yes.
The problem that he's running into, the problem that he's running into is that Ben Simmons essentially plays the same position he does, right? Right? So he's looking at Ben Simmons. He's like, oh, these guys are trying to change my shot. I can't shoot. He's looking at Ben Simmons, who had a phenomenal year last year. And like you say, the guy's a kid. Lonzo was prepared for this because his father prepared him for this, right? He was prepared for the spotlight. He was prepared for LA.
Right.
He knew what he was getting into. Fultz, I don't know if he ever really understood what the NBA entails.
Yeah.
So I think it's a situation where it's all in his head. It is in his head. It's not an issue where his mechanics are wrong. His mechanics are wrong because it's in his head.
Yeah, I think it's a mental thing. I mean, I do put some blame on Philadelphia because after the injury, he was out the whole year, and they just started doing magic tricks on him. And I think seeing how the kid from Boston turned out to be a gem.
Jason Tatum, that's what they should have selected.
And they could have had him, but they decided not to. Let's continue with the NBA. Let's talk about Mr. Kevin Durant. I'm getting a kick out of him because
it's fun now, right?
Yeah, he's becoming like a drama queen because I don't know if you guys seen him telling the fans to shut the fuck up. Apparently.
So he's becoming a LeBron, is what you're saying?
Basically,
yeah. Okay.
For another day.
Okay.
But I mean, what I find entertaining about Kevin Durant, and Justin, please tell me if I'm wrong or not, but when it comes to people that he's scared of, he won't talk back to them, like when it comes to Draymond Green, because he told a fan to shut the fuck up because they're telling him, there's trash talk in there. What are you feeling about KD and how he's acting now?
He's a fake thug, okay? because you're absolutely right. He's not gonna talk back to Draymond. He's not gonna talk about the guys that he knows are gonna come back. He knows are gonna come back at him. But you know, he'll talk back. It's not the first time he's had confrontations with fans and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, but at the same time, when he met LeBron the first time in the finals, he basically handed LeBron a chance. He gave it. You know? So, you know, and then all of a sudden, now he's a tough guy. He's not afraid of LeBron anymore. Okay, whatever. Yeah, now you're flipping fans off. You tell them to shut the F up. You know, oh, that's whatever, man. It doesn't even matter. Whatever.
Vasily, what are you feeling about
KD and his move right now? I think KD is highly, highly, highly sensitive, and that's just who he is. And he's going to be that person, and there's nothing that no one can do about it. But you know what? If he keeps winning, it doesn't even fucking matter because he's going to win again this year, and then you know what? He's going to go somewhere else, and he's going to try to win somewhere else. And we'll see what happens next year, but you know they're going to win this year. So let him cry. He got enough money. He got enough money to pay.
I don't know.
Because don't know what?
What's being proven right now is let me do the Kevin Durant part first. It's not as if this fan, from what I've understand from all the reporting, it's not like this fan called him the N-word or called him anything like that. It's just he was making fun of him being soft. Ooh, like
yeah,
like you're really gonna go like
Durant crazy. Is sensitive. That's just who he is.
He has the mentality of Markel Fultz.
There you go.
Yeah, like skill of a phenomenal player, but the mentality of Markel Fultz, where he's just so scared of what the fan is gonna do and say to him, "Get the fuck out of here, man! Look, you are paying millions of dollars for your fucking game on the court. Let your game speak for itself. Stop going on Twitter with your 67 burner accounts, calling."
Do you guys think Kevin Durant's a diva?
Fuck yeah,
not as much as LeBron, but yeah.
We'll talk about that another time, sir, please.
No, I'm going to talk about that right now.
No.
We can't speak to delusional people today.
Yeah, we need...
All right, fine. Sir, let me go to the other part that Basila mentioned real quick. Before I forget. Wow. The Warriors, what's being proven right what is being proven right now. And yes, they will win if Steph Curry, when he comes back, stays healthy, because what's being proven right now is the most important player on that team is Steph Curry. Yes. Not Kevin Durant.
Agreed. Draymond.
Agreed.
100%. So if he doesn't come back, the Warriors aren't going anywhere. This will be the Warriors actually get knocked off.
I think they need Steph and Kevin, but I think Kevin's success is linked to Steph being on that court, because Kevin Durant can't. It won't be as easy for him to do. I mean, he's a hell of a player. I mean, let's not get that twisted. He's a hell of a player. But some of the things that he does in that Warriors,
what are you gonna know?
It's not as easy.
We're losing you there. Just there we go. Steph,
oh, yeah.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. I'll just say that some of the stuff that Kevin Durant does in the offense wouldn't be as easy for him to do if Steph is not on the court. So you're absolutely right. Steph is vital to everybody else's
success. I agree.
Yeah, that offense the way it's built without Steph. You think that happens on the bench if Steph Curry was actually in the game? No. I don't think that happens. Steph in, he makes everything, calms everybody the fuck down, and everybody gets right back to normal. So I don't. It's the
most Golden State's winning regardless.
I agree. I think they do this to entertain themselves because they're bored. And also, I just think this is what Golden State does. They need their little soap opera to keep themselves entertained. And speaking about soap operas, guys, I know nobody is a golf guru in this thing, but this Tiger and Phil pay-per-view event.
I think it's great. I think it's great.
I think it's entertainment, yeah.
The only thing I don't like about it is that it's not their own money, but they are making a $200,000 side bet on the side as well, for besides the money they're going to get from the sponsorship. Two things. What do you think about it? And if you were a golf guy, would you order the pay-per-view? I'll start with you, Antonio.
Do I think if I was a golf guy where I order the pay-per-view? Yeah. Fuck no.
Okay.
There's no,
so harsh. No,
because it's not. Well, it's not. If this would have been I ordered the Cotto fight that I won. How much did I win off of you in that Martin fight? Oh, okay. like I was saying, if this type of matchup, if golf wanted to do this type of pay-per-view event, which I don't think is a bad idea. I don't think it's a bad idea at all, but I think you got the name recognition. So I think this might be where golf might be wanting to go into, like that pay-per-view type thing. This is a good start, but this is a good match. No, this, I honestly think Phil Mickelson is probably going to run away with it.
Oh, wow.
I do.
I don't know.
No player. Tiger Woods was, to me, he's the greatest of all time. Wow. However, not right now.
Okay, Vasily, what are your feelings then? Who do you got?
if Antonio knew anything about golf, I would agree with him. Since he doesn't, I'm more than listen. At the end of the day, this is fun. This is for the fans. This is exactly what they wanted. So I don't think Phil's going to run away with it. If Phil even wins, it'd be very close. The Tiger's going to stay here and toy with him and beat his ass real quick. So if I was a golf fan, yeah, I would order it. I'm going to find a way to watch it because why not? It's fun. And it's Friday. You know, nothing else is going on. So if I could find it, I'll watch it.
I don't really buy any pay-per-view events now. I just bootleg everything. So I'm just
saying. That's what I wanted to say, but I didn't want to get in trouble.
That's Antonio, FBI, just in case.
Yes.
I don't want nobody to Tekashi 6ix9ine me, please. Justin. Justin, what are your feelings about this game? And would you, well, not game, but this competition, entertaining? And would you buy it if you were a golf guy?
I think it's entertaining. The problem is that this is 10 years.
Yes,
exactly. All
right, good.
This is the Pacquiao Mayweather all over.
Yes, that's exactly.
And Yeah, I think if they did this 10 years ago, they would have made a hell of a lot of money. The problem is I wouldn't buy it now because I don't think it's gonna give. It's not gonna the value that I would. I don't think it's worth the money that they're gonna.
It's $20.
That's not bad.
Nah, it's not worth it. That's not worth it. So the fact that there's a side bet going on is what. You know, maybe if you pool a couple guys together, you go, okay, yeah, let's split it. You know, let's watch it that way. Fine. But my money's on Tiger Woods in this, by the way. Let me just say that. I think if you, especially if there's a hooker anywhere around the anywhere around the green, I think he has it on lock.
Tiger has a chance. There's a hooker on there. She has to look like a man.
Oh man, me personally, I'm not a golf person. I wouldn't order it, but I think golf messed up. They should have had this on regular TV. I think they would have received a lot more viewers just because of Tiger Woods.
It's about money. That's what they're gonna sell it.
I think sponsors would jump on it.
Yeah, but you think exactly sponsors would have jumped on this big time if this is going to be on regular TV. I think either any of these ESPN or NBC would have paid a lot of money for one round of golf between them two. And I honestly would have watched it if it was on regular TV. Excuse me, because anytime we get an alert on a phone that Tiger is
doing something,
we turn to that channel. I think they blew it on this one. I won't watch it. I mean, I will go to Antonio's house and watch it illegally, like he said he would. Not me. Not me. Antonio would. Well, before we talk about our final topic, let's talk about a few words about it's finally official, Pacquiao Bronner. something else that happened way past his time. Justin, what are your feelings in a few words?
My few words are gonna be I can speak five times to Antonio.
Antonio,
I'm just gonna let Antonio speak.
Yeah. Before Antonio speaks, let me speak because he can. He can have the floor for 5 minutes if he wants.
I don't want him for five minutes.
Well, but I'm saying, just let me say what I want to say real quick. Who gives a fuck? That's my honest opinion. What's the outcome of this? Pacquiao said, I'm going to fight Broner to sit here and fight Mayweather next. Who gives a shit? And Broner says something about that he can beat his ass, Pacquiao's ass worse than Mayweather would. Broner's a shit talker. They're all stupid. You know what? Who gives a shit? I would rather watch the golf. I would pay for the golf match before I would pay for this fucking fight.
I agree, sir. I agree.
If they're doing these stupid fucking fights and then selling on pay-per-view, this shit, if this gets 10 pay-per-view buys, I'll be fucking shocked because it's so pathetic. First of all, Pacquiao, he has nothing else to pull. This is just money for him. He must be hard up for taxes because this is all it is right now for him. He doesn't have shit to prove. Broner, this motherfucker, I shit you not. This dude went on talking about if he beats Pacquiao, he's going to be a legend. Get the fuck out of my fucking.
Wow, legend. Wow. Wow, yeah.
This kid is eighth fight till now. This kid is the most overhyped. I wouldn't even call him a prospect. I'll call him right place, right time, still a fucking horrible fighter. Because he's just, when he stepped up in real competition, he got his ass handed to him against guys like Porter and guys like that. So this is a joke. This is an embarrassment.
I'm glad you feel that way. And last but not least, let's talk about some Yankee baseball and the trade that happened yesterday. Basilio, what are your feelings? Was it worth giving up your top not your number one prospect, but I say
according to them, it was a number one. To some people, it was a number one prospect. But listen, you know what? The reason why it was a good trade because Sheffield wasn't the Yankees' baby. They didn't draft him; they traded for him. You know what I'm saying? So it didn't really matter. And at the end of the day, listen, they had plenty of opportunities to bring him up last year, and they didn't. So if they felt like it was going to be something big, they would have kept him. We needed somebody who's you know, who's reliable, who's stable. And we got him for 2 years, and we're not going to pay him a lot of money. So it's a good trade. Listen, that's the first thing to go. They got a good pitcher. They're going to go get another pitcher, and then we'll go from there.
All right, Antonio, what are your feelings?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's always hard to see one of your like top prospects in your farm system go. But if you're going to give them up, this would probably be the type of package that you want to give it up for. James Paxton has huge upside. I know people hype up prospects, but to me, prospects are the kind of prospect you need to be in. Your Mike Trouts, your Bryce Harpers, guys like that. Sheffield may have come into the league and made a little bit of noise, but to get them out of there early to get somebody like Paxton back, I think it was a good pickup. I think it was a good – they have a lot of work to do still in the pitching aspect to even manage to keep it. Red Sox next year, but honestly speaking, I think that if I'll tell you the truth, if they could pull Corbin and Keuchel, I'm content with anything else that they do. If they just get an average to just slightly above average defender for shortstop, I'm content with that because they still have the offense to get them through the season. They need the pitching, and the only way they're going to get that is to try to lock guys like maybe I like Corbin and I like Keuchel. They would make a fantastic punch, and that puts them on par with the Red Sox. Anything below that, they still have work to do in that pitching front.
All right, and Justin, your thoughts?
I think this is a phenomenal trade for the Yankees, for the simple fact that a lot of people had Sheffield pegged as our number one prospect. However, he did get a few innings here and there last year. And it was horrible. And the Yankees obviously saw enough to say, you know what? We don't think this guy is going to be what we want him to be. And what we got in return for him is one piece of what we need. Antonio is absolutely right. We can't take our eye off the ball here. We still have to go out and we still have to get other left-handed pitchers. But this guy that we got is absolutely what we
exactly because and I'm sorry to cut you off, Justin, but it's kind of like the ceiling. You know how you always talk about what if George Steinbrenner was here? We wouldn't be in the position that we were in right now with the farm system to be able to pull something like
we this. We don't know that. No, we don't know that.
Stan Brenner
is dead.
We don't know that.
Guys, just come on. Thanksgiving week.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, everybody want to speak on what should have, could have, would have, but he's dead, so it doesn't matter. We don't know what it would have been. You know what? You could be absolutely right. Maybe we could have been, but you know what? Maybe his son would have been like, you know what? You ain't doing shit. I'm doing it for you. This is what, you know, Jerry Jones' son needs to do to freaking Jerry Jones. Like, sit your ass down and do this and do that.
No, let Jerry Jones do his thing. He's doing great.
That's true, too, yeah.
They're in first place by themselves.
Oh, I told you, still talking. I can't even hear that.
The reason I think that what Brian Ketcher did with stock under the farm system over the last 4 or 5 years, he looked at the long-term plan, and this is where we're at right now. We got a bunch of young guys. We don't have to worry about these albatross contracts having over anybody's necks. You know, they got a nice clean slate, young players rebuilding the core, and that's and without even having to spend $18 billion on contracts, they're still on par with keeping up with the Red Sox now. But if they picked up a couple good starting pitchers here,
all right, guys, I'm glad we all feel the same way about the trade. I think we are good for today, gentlemen.
Oh, you don't want to talk about your wonderful Mets?
No, we'll talk about them when they count.
Which probably be never, but it's okay.
Yes, exactly. So.
Hey, anybody ever wonder why Mets and Jets rhyme? But anyway, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. We'll talk about that another time when we're on TV. We'll talk about that. But for now, gentlemen, you guys can have Thursday off.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
No, it's the least we can do here. Yeah, okay. Thank you. That was from Apple. Apple said that.
Okay. Stay away from my free phone.
Good looking out, Apple.
Yes. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining. And as the show goes, just started. That's it. Have a good night, guys.